Welcome to the Midwest Game Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, John. Here with me today is Alex.
Hello.
And Brian.
Hey.
Today, we're going to talk about some news, a little bit, and then some other stuff. And Alex got a PSVR too. And then we're going to talk about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. But before we get to all that, you can find all the places you can listen to the show at MidwestGameNerds.com/links. The Midwest Podcast Network has a Patreon. The Patreon supports all our shows on our network. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. Help keep our shows alive and well. Check it out at mpn.bz/Patreon. Thanks to JCK, Tom Z, David O, and Corey Z for the contributions. One of the perks of joining the Patreon is you get early access to our bonus episodes that we call Side Quests. Side Quests are where we veer off outside the realm of video games into food, beverages, movies, TV, and more. Join our Patreon to get those episodes a week early. As always, we do appreciate your feedback, which you can send to MidwestGameNerds@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcatcher. Alex, any bumpers for the network?
Yes, the Horror Movie Yearbook Boys have an episode out about road games. That is the Jamie Lee Curtis, Stacy Keach movie that I think I brought up last time. But they're also going to be doing another bracket as their next episode. I believe it is the one-off slasher villain bracket. So they're only going to be rating slasher movies that have no sequels. So
interesting.
I'm sure it's going to be a good bunch. No sequels, no remakes, no additional movies in the canon. So I believe Shocker was the one that they brought up by name. So look on their Instagram and their socials for the bracket before the episode comes out. I'm sure they'd love to have people fill them out when it's available. So check that out. HorrorMovieYearbook.com for the rest of the episodes.
Nice. Alex, you had a letter from Tom that you wanted to read off.
Yeah, I actually have two letters. Do you guys know, did I read Alan's top five?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I really messed up here. We have two favorite games of 2023 emails here. After we chided listeners for not sending us emails last week,
We were just ignoring them.
Yeah,
well,
Tom was like, hey.
So few emails that we don't check the email box that often, you know?
No, I had even starred Tom's email, I think, in the box, and I just completely forgot about it. So my apologies. So Tom writes in my favorite games of 2023. He says, "Hey guys, it's that time of year, a few weeks late." Guess what, Tom? It's a few weeks even later than that. In no concrete order, here we go. Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age. I don't know where to start. Let's go with the music. It's brilliant, orchestral, symphonic. Do those mean the same thing? And soul melting. I wish it was on Spotify or something. It's a real chill game. Tim Rogers did a better job of elaborating here, and he links to a YouTube video. All the characters have super positive vibes. If you don't murder an enemy, they'll probably become an ally or see your perspective and gain super positive vibes. The uncompromising sincerity of this game keeps me coming back after playing it across 3 years. Number two, he didn't number these. Sifu, it's Sifu, man. The most baller kung fu game on this side of the Mississippi. Yes, it's a Chinese game made by French people. Shut up. I bought it again on PS5 so I can get the good ending. Spoilers? It was well worth it. I'll probably be coming back to it at some point.
It's actually free on PS5 yes. Right now.
That's what I was going to say. It's a free PS Plus game right now, so people can check that out. Third on his list is Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon. FromSoftware makes games that I can never complete or get good at. It's like getting your shit pushed in, except for this game. The story is simplistic, but the execution is potent. I don't have time for cutscenes. There's coral to snort and douchebags to obliterate. The game is difficult, but I was rarely frustrated. This is my first mech game, and I'm looking forward to getting back into it when time allows. Armored Core, more like Armored More. Next up on his list, Judgment, or Judge Eyes for the weebs. It's a detective game that's set in the Yakuza, like a dragon for the weebs, series, District of Kamurocho. It's just pervy enough, the writing is breathtaking, the side missions are hysterical, and the lead, Takayuki Yagami, is one bad motherfucker. I'm only on chapter 6 of 13, but I've clocked 60 plus hours. The story is not that long. The combat in the game leaves much to be desired. However, I'm here for the story, and the story is well worth it. Next up,
I did not realize that game took place in Yakuza. Like, it's
the
same
Judgment
universe.
Series is in the Yakuza universe.
What is the breadth of that, like, entire series at this point?
Huge.
Well, there's 7 mainline games, plus the two Judgment games, and then there are the Isshin games, which are like they're titled Like a Dragon Gaiden in Japan, so they're like side stories.
Yeah.
That I think take place in the past, but use characters from the current games as the people in the past, something like that. And then there's two like other Gaiden games that are actually current day, I think, or something like Infinite Wealth is the one that just came out, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, there's a lot of Like a Dragon games and Yakuza games, and they all people who play them love them. But there's also like, I feel like I tried Yakuza Zero at one point, and there's just so much watching it happen in front of you that I just couldn't get into it at this point in my life. Despite the fact that I'm willing to do that for Kojima. But I'm glad that Tom enjoyed Judgment. And yeah, that's awesome. He's got a couple more on his list here. Forza Horizon 5. I really got into cars last year. It started with the major motion picture Gran Turismo, based on the unbelievable, inspiring true story. It made me want to go fast again. So I slapped some money on my desk and used a credit card to buy the deluxe edition of Forza Horizon 5 after a gloriously wonderful time playing Forza Horizon 4 a few years back. Forza Horizon 5 certainly lived up to my previous experience. I love the music, I love the setting, Mexico, and I love the cars. The Hot Wheels DLC is a must-play. It's a childhood imagination translated into a video game real life. There's a hypnotic nature going 250 miles per hour in a Koenigsegg Jesko down the highway and with EDM bumping. I like to think that's what true freedom is. Doki Doki Literature Club. This game is fucking weird and really goes for it. Not for the faint of heart and not for people who get easily offended by sloppy and misguided portrayal of the controversial element of the game. I won't spoil it for y'all. It's one of them there text games where you read a lot, talk to sexy high schoolers who are all 18 plus, mind you, and sometimes write poetry. This theme song puts me in a joyful mood. This one is on Spotify. There's also quite a clever meta element that I don't see in many games. Matrix-esque, if you will. Not for everyone, but it was for me, smiley face. God of War Ragnarok. Even the most fearsome god killer can use a little self-reflection and empathy. I ran out of tears at the end of this one. What more do you want? It's God of War. Then Guardians of Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy, another one of those games that had no business being as good as it is. Take a shot or shoot yourself for every time someone says flark or a variation of the word. Pretty much my only complaint. The action is tight and the team combat works well enough to change the course of a battle if used appropriately. It's funny as hell. My wife watched me play and got some good laughs out of her. You can say that I was hooked on a feeling. Not sure how many games I'll be playing this year, but bet your bottom dollar I'll transgress my gamer duties with finesse. Much love, Tom Z. P.S. John, you gotta be proud of your favorite games. Don't worry about the internet. If you like a game, shout your praises without shame. Heart emoji. If you can't, at least you're not the creep that put a Japanese schoolgirl dating sim on your top list.
Yeah, fair enough. Tom, you should have like an Instagram where you do like 10-second reviews of games. And I would follow the shit out of that.
Yeah, no, this is a great list of games and some beautiful opinions on them. And so that's awesome. Thank you, Tom, for writing. And I'm sorry it took us a while to get to it. I have always wanted to play Dragon Quest XI because I heard it was very good. But I only have time for one JRPG in my life, and it's apparently Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So... But yeah, no, I like literally Sifu as well. I picked it up for free this month. I do want to check it out at some point. I haven't yet. I remembered Tom liking it when it first came out. So lots of good stuff here. Thank you, Tom, for writing in.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
And then Alan wrote in, subject top five. I finally got to listen to a full episode without it going into the latest one and missing 2/3 of the previous one. Quite the achievement for me. Thought I may well chime in with my top five of a few different things. Games 2023. Number five is Spider-Man 2. Beautiful game. Much the same as one, but wonderful cutscene, story, and acting, and not too long to get 100%. Number four is One Punch Club. I guess it's an inventory fighting management sim. It's really addictive, and the dialogue is so funny. A lot of parodies of pop culture and worth getting. Number three is Hogwarts Legacy. I got my first handy while watching Harry Potter 1 on a bootleg DVD. So it's always going to have a soft spot in my heart, but I really liked the books and always waited for the next release. Enjoyed the movies. This game encapsulates all I want from a Harry Potter game. I just wish you could have been evil. Number two is the Outlast Trials. Alex, check this out. First-person horror hits as hard as Resident Evil. Really creeped me out. Do not play on a flight. I truly hate this game in a good way. Number one, Dave the Diver. Just a really wholesome game. Nothing too stressful. Catching fish, making sushi, farming. Help the sea people from dying due to climate change. 40 hours of gameplay for $15. This is a steal, and it's therapeutic. Good luck reading all that. Yeah, as you can tell, I barely can. And then he says, top five places I'm going this year in order. South of Italy, New Zealand, Australia, Germany, Peru. Open to other suggestions for the rest of the year. Top five Midwest Network hosts, John, Brian, Alex, Willie, Tim, in no specific order for me. How would you rate yourselves? Miss y'all, heart emoji, Alan. Thank you, Alan.
How would we rate ourselves?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that one.
Low.
Brian, you're putting yourself at five.
Below five.
Tim and Willie at the end of the most recent horror movie.
Well, is it current, or does it include like past like hosts and guests?
I'm only talking currently too, as of the last 2 years. Other than that, maybe higher.
Well, there was the time that I had people on that didn't like Home Alone, and Willie was very offended by that on Film Nerds, and it's a very shameful episode, in my opinion. Just poorly considered on all regards. So you're ahead of those guys, at least. They're wonderful people. It's just...
Are they? They don't like Home Alone?
Yeah, it just wasn't the right... We were doing a John Hughes retrospective that we had for a long time promised people, and it was not, the timing didn't work out properly. So
I hope they went home alone.
Jesus.
I played the first Outlast and was horrified. I didn't get very far in it.
Yeah,
it was
I watched
Jason
play it for like 10 minutes and I'm like, yeah, I can't do this game.
Jason outlasted you.
He did. The first time you turn and you see something creep past a doorway and you're just like, nah, I'm out. Like, I'm good. Because you don't have any weapons in that game. Your weapon is, you have AA batteries that you put into your camera. Like,
yeah.
Can you throw your camera at bad people?
No, you can't.
That's stupid.
But,
you can't even
fill
a sock full of batteries.
I mean, I guess if you... through your camera, though, that'd probably be your only light source,
and when the creepy thing like is chasing you and it actually like catches up to you and shit, like, yeah, no, nah, I'm good on Outlast, no thanks.
I'd never heard of One Punch Club. I
think it's on my Steam nice. Wish list.
That's cool. So thank you, yeah. Alan, for writing in. I do want to check out Dave the Diver. I just haven't yet. It's on my list of things to check out. So anyway, please write in. I promise it won't take as long for us to read it next time.
We will try and pay better attention to our inbox.
We will endeavor to be better at
after that. Yelling at everyone to write in. Whoops.
It's just our, that's our style. That's how we do it. You want to do some news? I'm not going to play the patch notes. I hate that
news.
Bumper so much.
Why? Because you made it 10 minutes long?
Yeah. It was funny the first time, maybe. Not even probably. So we'll stop doing that one.
It would have been funny if like it faded out and then faded back in louder. Like...
Just that as the story drones on.
Yeah, that would have been good. Yeah, let's hit some news first. What do we got? What do you want to talk about first?
I got the PS5 Pro rumor up on my screen. The Verge is saying Sony's PS5 Pro is up to 3 times faster and may arrive in holiday 2024.
This is The Verge. This is a very reputable source.
So. Yeah, and there's a lot of people reporting on this right now. So it seems like a lot of people are getting bits and pieces of the story through different things. I also heard that Sony is investigating the leak because of the fact that this happened right after they sent specs to third-party studios, is my understanding.
Uh-oh. Someone's getting cut from the PSN.
So really, I mean, it sounds
like... I bet it was Microsoft.
Yeah, that'd be good. They are a third-party developer for PlayStation.
Phil Spencer's like, guys, you'll never believe what I just got.
So, it looks like it's keeping the same Zen 2 CPU. It might have a little bit of a speed boost feature to it. It's also going to get one of the more recent AMD GPUs on it that is much better at doing ray tracing. The other interesting feature that is being rumored is the PlayStation Super Resolution, I believe it is called. Which is PlayStation Spectral Resolution is meant to be like NVIDIA's DLSS, where they will be using machine learning to basically take a 1080p rendered game and turn it into 4K magically with a higher frame rate than before. I read a few other stories where they are hoping to be able to hit 4K resolution with this technology at 120 hertz, which would be pretty cool. And they also supposedly want to be able to do 8K at 60 hertz.
I feel like I have never gotten DLSS to work right.
Are you kidding me? You're doing it wrong then.
Yeah, no,
it's a huge improvement.
Well, you know how there's like different settings for it? Like, depending
you're
on
talking
the game.
Mostly about, yeah, like Cyberpunk, I think, is probably what you're mostly referring to.
Sure, it's probably like that, and I think Baldur's Gate has it, and then a few other things.
Pretty much every game now does. Even older games, like, I think even Rainbow Six has it nowadays.
Yeah, like, it has, what are the settings? Like, balanced, or
quality, performance,
or quality.
And auto.
And I feel like they all look like shit.
That's strange.
Like, you know, granted, my system's a few years old at this point, but it just seems like it never looks anywhere near what anybody shows its potential being. And like, you look at the NVIDIA, like if you follow NVIDIA on Twitter, they're always posting like DLSS comparisons, like frames before and after kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like nothing I've ever played looks any better. It doesn't look
like
anything like that.
The graphical
or runs.
Fidelity is poor, or it doesn't run well, or both.
Both.
Interesting. Yeah, you're doing
it
wrong.
I feel like I don't get any of that out of those settings.
I will say, like,
if I just turn off ray tracing and DLSS, I feel like my system, everything looks 1,000 times better than when it's turned on.
Well, yeah.
DLSS should, in theory, it will look worse, but... like in quality, it barely looks worse, but the frame rate will be a lot higher in any of the DLSS modes versus regular.
John, what are you doing 1440 still?
Yeah, that's what I normally on my PC. That's what I normally play at.
Okay, yeah. So my experience using DLSS is, I think, mostly limited to, I'm sure there's been other games that I've played it with, but the other things that I know that I was using it for was mostly on Control on PC. And that to me always looked quite good. You do notice some artifacting that occurs because of the technology that it's using.
Yeah.
But generally, I could get closer to a solid 60 frames at 4K, not actually with the 3080, unfortunately, which was always kind of the biggest bummer for me.
Yeah, I guess just in general, like, you know, the idea of quality is very subjective to the user in and of itself. And
sure.
Just like in, you know, foreshadowing to Final Fantasy VII, but I personally feel as though the performance mode looks 1,000 times better than running it in graphic mode. Like,
yeah, well, there's also, I think they have stated there is an issue with the quality mode that they are working to fix. So I think they currently have some type of issue that they need. There's a bug that is causing things to look fuzzier in the quality mode of Rebirth than, but no, I mean, it's all about what you want from a game. If you want higher resolution, then you go with the quality mode. If you want better frame rates, then you go with the performance mode, right? So
yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand any of these settings, and I wish it was a little more plug and play for everything, just because even with games that have like HDR in them, my television is HDR, but everything I do when I try to turn that on, it's like your television does not support HDR. But I know for a fact my television supports HDR. Like,
does it support it through every input though?
It should support it through the game input, shouldn't it? Like,
which TV?
It's a Bravia.
The Bravia. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I would mention is that maybe it's the HDMI, because yeah, you have to have specific HDMIs able to do all of that stuff.
If you're using the PS5 and you use the cable that came with it, though, yeah, it does support
right
all of that. So I just, that's like, interesting.
Call me dumb if you
maybe
want.
Technology,
I don't understand.
Hates you.
It probably does, but not as much as you, because when you change something on your computer, the whole computer fails.
That's only happened like once, but.
And some of your technology gets legs and leaves your house.
It's true. I will say, I use DLSS in every game that's available, and it always works well. And it looks, nowadays looks almost indistinguishable from running a game without it.
I don't
think it's gotten better over time. Like, I do feel like it was noticeable originally, but I could be wrong, but I think that's part of the whole machine learning thing, is it actually gets better, like the graphical fidelity.
Yeah, well, and I don't
to an
doubt,
extent.
I don't doubt that a lot of my issue is user error. I don't doubt that by any means. And in all reality, like, let's be honest, I built this computer. Like,
yeah,
probably
I
not.
Offered to build it.
I thought I did a pretty good job.
When
GPU
in.
Hey, you know what? When I turned everything
you didn't
on,
overclock it. You probably don't have your RAM set running at the right speed.
I don't even know what those things mean. So I don't know. It works. When I turn it on, it works. It powers up in like 15 seconds, which is pretty good.
Did you install the thingamabob and the doohickey? You got to do that and make sure it's updated.
I did. I ended up having to get rid of a bunch of the RGB software, though, for all the different components, because they don't all work together. That was fun.
Yeah, there's like but open
there's
source
a way
software
to get that to work too.
Yeah, I don't care that much. It's facing away from me. I don't even get to look at it, so who cares?
You don't even use it other than when you're
recording. I use my
computer
to podcast and play D&D online over Discord. That's it.
Well, the
I don't
DLSS
even,
on this Discord call is great. I mean,
I
you
should
guys
just
are so
sell
shiny
my
right
video
now.
Card. Like, I don't you're, need it.
You're at a high frame rate. Well, they're not worth much anymore, so.
Yeah, they're the old generation now, so they're not, you know, you can maybe get like probably $500, $400 for
less.
It would be my guess.
Hey, that's $200 shy of a 4070 Ti, so.
Sure. Anyway. The whole point of the DLSS, John, is so that there's less of a difference between performance and quality mode, right?
Yeah,
you
and
get,
Sony,
you get
and
the higher
is,
resolution and you get the higher frame rate at the same time as the hope.
And Sony's making their own version of this.
Yes.
Right.
So, it sounds like, I don't know, do either of you, would you want a PS5 Pro? Are you
yes.
in the market for one?
Really?
I would sell my PS5 to get a PS5 Pro.
See, to me, the PS5 seems more than adequate. I didn't necessarily feel like that about the PS4. I welcomed the pro, but I don't know. Like,
I'm at the point where, like, I mostly want to not have a launch day system anymore, because who knows what kind of reliability issue is going to pop up in like 2 or 3 years. That'd be my only reason for buying a new one, is because I'm scared that this one's going to break, and then I just have to buy a new one anyway.
Right.
You know?
So that reminds me, I do probably need to, like, crack my PS5 open and blow the dust and dog hair out of it.
Yeah. But
I recommend using tools, not just cracking it open.
Yeah, see, I was going to crack it on the counter.
Did you do that to your PC when you're building it, too?
I did, on the edge of the counter, like I'm opening an egg.
As you use a sharp edge and not like a rounded off edge, because then you're going to get a very messy break.
Yeah, no, you want
to
clean break.
You don't have to use any tools to open up the PS5 to get to the vacuum porthole to suck all the dust out. So,
well too late. I used a crowbar.
All right. The only other news story I had up was, this one's on GameStop. It says, oh no, Helldivers 2 has flying bugs to deal with now. And basically, there started to be pictures online and videos online of people showing flying bugs that are called shriekers in the game. And this wasn't in the patch notes that came out last week. And then basically the director of the game, Johan Pilstedt, took to X and Twitter to say, I've heard rumors of flying bugs in Helldivers 2. I want to officially refute such preposterous claims. Everyone knows that bugs can't fly, and I'm not alone in thinking this. The Ministry of Truth agrees that this is propaganda from bug sympathizers that want to brainwash good people.
It's so good.
It's incredible. And I love that they're doing this kind of thing with Helldivers. It feels like they just had a fully formed vision of what they wanted this game to be when it came out. And so I feel like it's awesome to see them be able to deliver on some of that stuff and create a really unique experience with it. So
I just hope they keep doing more stuff like this. And like, oh, yeah. So did they say there is a third faction of enemies coming soon too?
So there was a faction in the original game, in the first game, called the Illuminate, that are, so I believe they're like aquatic based or something like that. And I think they have confirmed that they will be coming to the game at some point. I did see a news story last night. Let me see if anybody's written about this.
While you're looking that up, I'm also going to mention the fact that players, they basically cleared an entire system or whatever faster than the developers were expecting them to, causing a massive like outage of the servers again, because people were calling in the mechs. I don't know if you saw that.
No, yeah, I heard about some of that, and that's...
But it was
also awesome.
But that was, again, the mechs were built into the lore of the game. Like, this one system was the system creating the mechs and building them for the army, for all the true patriots or whatever they're called. I don't even know anymore, because I don't play enough. But dominating the system or clearing the system or whatever, the players all unlocked mechs as a stratagem or whatever, like in the game for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And players were calling in so many mechs that they were causing server crashes.
Yeah, we played with Zach the other night. It was Zach and Alan and Brian and I, and we played, and Zach, of course, has unlocked everything in the game and all of the war bonds as well. But he of course has the mech. You have to be level something now. I don't know, level 20? I don't know. It's very high. You have to be a very high level to be able to call in a mech at this point. And so he called it in and let Brian and Alan and I mess with it. And it was fun. Those are very cool.
I had played once when everybody had them available.
Yeah, they had
and
them
that
unlocked
was fun,
for everybody.
So.
Yeah.
But they're pretty fun for sure. They run out of ammo very quickly, but definitely decimate things while they're around.
Hell yeah.
But back to what I was saying, there's people are posting videos of like blue laser beams flying through the sky in Helldivers, and just I think some people are getting killed by blue laser beams, which the robots don't shoot blue and the bugs don't shoot. So where are the blue laser beams coming from? And I see a story here on PC Gamer. Helldivers 2 CEO becomes a blue beam denialist as mystery snipers allegedly take pot shots at the player base. Blue beam, quote, blue beams aren't real. They can't hurt you, end quote.
They're just random space lasers made by Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I think this is likely to be related to the new faction of enemy that will be coming, but it's just great. It's a very cool way to reward the people that are like deep into your game and noticing these types of things that are like, oh, I haven't seen that before. And then they go and report it to other people. And it just starts this groundswell of like excitement for something coming to the game.
Well, it's like real life conspiracy theory kind of bullshit bleeding yes. into a video game where you've got people being like, I saw this thing, it was in the air. And they're like, no, you didn't.
like get it on video. And then somebody finally posts a video.
Post it on YouTube and we'll talk about it. Oh, that video is a little blurry. I can't tell what that is. It's pretty great. The whole concept's great.
Yeah. It's very cool. So, Helldivers is great. I guess that segues us into what we've been playing. Helldivers continues to be good. And I'm excited to play more of it. I played a little bit with Gojo and Nick yesterday. It was also fun.
Are they loving it too?
Yes, they're also enjoying it. They came to party on the SES Founding Father of Science with me. And we spread managed democracy to both the Terminids and the Automatons. So,
there's no world in which I would imagine that this game would not be straight up their alley.
Gojo's been a long time EDF fan, so like the fact that he can kill bugs in another game, great. And then also like his character, he has this Nick kept calling him John Favreau's character from The Mandalorian. He couldn't remember what the name is, but he has the biggest like bomb suit armor that you can find, and he had a jetpack on, so he was jetpacking off with the anti-material rifle and the biggest armor that you could possibly get in the game. And it's just the most Gojo thing that you could possibly see. So it was a lot of fun to play with them, and it's crazy. I feel like so many people I know have that game. Like the fact that Jim was going to join Brian Zach and I were playing, and then Jim and Brian like popped into the chat to talk and be like, oh, let's play. And then I was like, oh, Alan's going to join us. And then Jim was like, oh, well, we have another crew of people that are playing Helldivers as well, so I can just go and hop over and play with them. Like there's just, everybody's got Helldivers, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome, so.
Yeah, when's 8-player mode coming? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it would be really cool to be able to have, like, it just reminds me of Massive Action Game, and, like, the idea that you could have two sets of people on a planet doing separate missions that both influence each other, I think would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
So. Yeah. Brian, cool. How's the quarry?
It's good. Is it moving? It's really ramped up.
Okay.
People have died. One person definitely died. A couple people may have died.
Mm.
Or they may not have. Don't want to spoil it too much.
Yeah.
In case people actually get around to playing it. Like, you know, you, the owner of the game that I'm borrowing.
Eventually, yes. Once upon a time, I wanted us all to sit down and play through it on a stream.
I would love to do that. I definitely... Yeah. Okay, so I do have some thoughts, though. Like, there's definitely a lot of replay value I'm seeing, for sure. Like most of these games have. However, I feel like this one leans in hard in into leans into hard the like dialogue choices and how they matter way later in the game. How you treat people like matters the most, I think. And not so much your moment to moment quick time decisions.
Interesting.
Like in a fleeing scenario, which happens often in these games, for example.
Yes. Butterfly effect dating sim.
Not necessarily, but yeah, some of that. I mean, it's a bunch of camp counselors, so yeah, there's a lot of like...
They're all sleeping with each other.
Romance in the air, whatnot. They're about to leave each other for the season. They don't all live in the same place. Anyways, but yeah, like I really love the setting. It's just really cool. And it's fun to walk around the creepy ass forest and go to all the different locations you end up at. And the characters are all right. Like, I feel for some of them and don't for others. But for the most part, they're all kind of like, eh, whatever.
Do they have the stereotype like, oh, this is the asshole jock?
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah.
Okay, good.
But, I mean, there's a little more to them. Like, they try to do a good job fleshing them out in between.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't really... Also, there's, like, another side to the story that hasn't really been revealed yet, but I know it's there. Like, you know from the very beginning of the game that it's there, but it hasn't been explored yet. So I'm interested to see how that fits in with all the story that's happened so far. We're in... I don't know how many chapters are in the game. I haven't looked. But we're in, like, I think chapter 9 or something. It seems like the way things have ramped up that there can't be that much more to the game. Like, yeah. I'm guessing we're probably, like, 3/4 of the way through.
How long have you been playing? Do you know?
I don't know. Many hours.
Okay. I can't imagine.
It has 12 chapters, including a prologue and epilogue.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems exactly like what I said, yeah. About 3/4 then. Yeah, so I'm interested to see how that specific story angle fits in with what's going on so far. And I've already learned how the prologue fits into the game, which is cool. And, that I was kind of waiting for. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm assuming... Yeah, we'll probably play this weekend, so I'm guessing if we're that far, we'll wrap it up. So by next time, I will be able to tell you guys how it turned out without being very specific about it.
Nice.
Cool.
I'll let you know if one person survived.
Yeah, hopefully you get at least one survivor, if not more.
Nice.
One other thing, though. I will say... One of the reasons why I think the dialogue choices and such and like people, how they feel toward each other, like matters more is because there are moments where things have gone south incredibly quickly in the last chapter or two, just because of one missed quick time event. And earlier in the game, that was definitely not the case, nor do I remember that being the case for the other games, like the anthology games. Like I mean, it's like they're like, hey, look around with the gun, and it gives you 5 seconds, and next thing you know, your character is decapitated, for example. And I don't even know what I'm looking for, so yeah. That's a complaint I have, I guess.
So you're saying you feel like because those are so cheap that the dialogue must matter more is kind of what you're... Okay.
Because I don't feel like they would put you in a situation like that with no guidance, really. and then just have it that easy to fail and completely lose a character that you've invested hours in. I think it was kind of predetermined that that was going to happen unless you did a really good job in that one part. And there was another time that it was kind of the same outcome. But, yeah.
Well, cool.
Interesting.
Curious Alex, to see how the rest of your playthrough goes.
Alex, how do you feel about PSVR 2?
It's very nice. I've spent a limited amount of time with it. Unfortunately, had a sick child over the weekend, which was not fun.
Did you play Call of the Mountain?
I did play Call of the Mountain. I'll say real quick, I feel like it kind of sucks that I couldn't set up at least the headset part without the controllers powered up, you know? And I could have plugged them in ahead of time if I really would have known that would have been an issue, but that was a bit of a bummer. But everything else about it is really simple. I know you said it, John. It's really nice that it's just a single cord going into the PlayStation, not like a whole breakout box with four different cables on it. That's awesome. The controllers are really nice. The fit and finish of the whole product is nice. I've heard there's a few people on like the PSVR subreddit that are talking about something called Globular Cluster, which is this mod that people have been using, where they change out some of the pads. Like, there's this bigger back piece that goes behind the head to hold it more in line with where it should be for like perfect clarity on the image. And I did notice some issues with that today, where like if the headset slips up or down just a little bit, then like everything in the distance can start to get blurry for me, and maybe I'm just starting to go blind, which is possible, but it seems a lot more prone to that than even the original PSVR did to me. So I might be looking into that mod in the future. It's like $50 kit, but there's like, you got to use spudgers to pull out the foam inserts and stuff. I don't know how reversible it is, so I'm a little bit worried about that.
Yeah.
But I did play
just Horizon like wrap a towel around the back of it or something.
Yeah. Know? Just put some glue on the back part and it'll stay, right?
Can't move. Get some hockey tape, you know? Tape it up like your stick.
I did play some Horizon Call of the Mountain. Looks beautiful. Looks very beautiful. And
did you play the demo first, or did you just jump right in?
Okay. I just jumped right into the game. I assume it's like the first chapter of the game would be my guess.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Because I gave you the code. So yeah.
Thank you for that. The combat is cool. I felt like being able to dash back and forth, like it felt like a lot to manage, but it didn't feel as intense as I think like Horizon would feel in a VR setting. You're using a bow and arrow to shoot at the enemies, and you can identify their weak points a lot like Horizon. As far as I know, there's not a ton of different weapons yet. I just have the bow and arrow, but maybe that'll change. I kind of hate that the rest of the game is just climbing. Climbing in VR I feel like is cool every once in a while, but when it's all climbing and it's just me climbing up like this or going hand over hand on the side, like along a side of a thing, it just, I don't know. And maybe it's the fact that I'm like not a particularly fit person, and I felt like hanging my arms out there and doing the I felt like I was actually climbing a mountain, which maybe that's what they want out of the game. But
yeah, get your ass out of your seat and do something.
Yeah, exactly. So the gameplay loop isn't quite there for me. I want to keep trying it out, probably in little spurts, but hopefully it gets a little bit better and there's a little bit. But they do, like, the guy at the beginning tells you that you were picked because you're good at climbing, so I assume the game is mostly climbing. That's a bad sign for what I enjoyed in the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Yeah, I only played about an hour of it or so. I think it's like 8 hours long or something. So I'll probably get a little more into that in the future.
It is pretty cool that you can like pick up any random object and like chuck it if you wanted to, you know?
Yeah, and they fill it up with like, they filled up the like starting area with like, you can pick up a tambourine and shake it or hit it.
Yeah, and there's like, the hand drum thing, and then there's like the painting thing that you can do. Yeah, like,
so they kind of have some interesting things for you to try out there.
Yeah, because you're in the Horizon universe, so you're in the future, but it's the past, and you have to do cave paintings in the future.
Post-apocalyptic, I believe is the phrase.
Pre-post-apocalyptic something, yeah.
I love how all VR games are just like, hey, look at all these basic-ass things you can do in VR, but you could do them in real life just as easily.
You could just do them in real life, but yeah. Just like King Spray or whatever, you could just go spray paint buildings if you want in real life. And
but you'd get arrested.
Yeah, if you're, at least if you're without bad permission. At it, you got to be good at it. If you get good at it, then you don't get arrested.
Do they make you run from the authorities in King Spray?
They should, just like in Thrasher Skate and Destroy. Yeah. That was the best part of that game, is like every time you got done with your run skating and getting points, you get chased by the cops.
Didn't it shift to like the perspective of the cop too?
Yeah, like, it was like, you could see like the cop's hands like running and it's like chasing you. Like,
God, what a fucking game.
That game had the best soundtrack ever.
It's weird how much I think about that game, and I know Nate does too because we played it all the time. But
you still have my copy, or do I have it?
That's a great question. Let me look over here.
I'm pretty sure you have it.
I don't see it on my shelf here, unfortunately, so you must have it somewhere.
Hopefully, man.
Yeah, I hope you do.
That game's a classic.
It is a classic. Other quick VR stuff, I played a bit of Thumper, which was like a $5 upgrade from PS4. That game is still great. I've still only played like the first two stages, so I hope I can get back to that at some point. And then I loaded up Res Infinite because I wanted to try out the eye tracking for aiming, because that's, you know, and that was a $10 upgrade to bring it into PS5 as well. But it's crazy playing that game with eye tracking. Like, just glancing, like, it's a very different muscle than you're used to using with these games, because you can just look at the things that you want to hit, and it's weird. It's just weird consciously trying to move your eyes around and be like, oh, I got to make sure that I'm hitting all the, like.
I mean, it's weird but cool just navigating menus with your eyes.
For like, sure, yeah.
When you're used to using a controller, or like on your phone, you're using gesture motions and things, but you're literally just looking through the menu, and then like that's what I want to do. You look at, you know, settings, and you look at the word settings, and it's hovering over it, and you click the button and it selects it. Like, it's eye tracking is fucking cool, man.
There's a really good eye tracking device for PC that I hear people like love using for flight sims and stuff like that, where you just need a ton of inputs. I think it's like, eye tracking is awesome for just accessibility too. Like, it's like, that's really good.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine eye tracking for like a flight sim. So you're like looking in, like, you're looking in a Boeing 737 and the wing just flew off the thing and you got to land it. So you're like looking up overhead to like find the right switch to, you know, flip for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean,
the first like incarnations of that type of stuff was like Track IR, right? Where you'd wear IR things. I think there's better eye tracking stuff now.
Well, Track IR is the one that they make really good solutions. So
maybe
now.
it's a new one.
You don't even have to wear anything necessarily anymore. Okay. I think you just like mount it on your monitor.
That makes
sense. Like a webcam, basically.
Yeah, they used to have like, it works with any webcam, but you'd have like these IR reflectors on like your hat, and it would be able to tell where you're looking, that kind of thing.
That's cool.
But no, I mean, people talk about the Apple Vision Pro and like the eye tracking on that. Like, I feel like the PSVR is capable of it too, and it's great. I don't think the Index that I purchased can do that, and it feels like one of the more next generation things of IR that I've interacted with.
The I do want to know, though, like, having used the Index, like, how would you compare that to the PS VR2? Like, from a technology standpoint, I mean, and, like, visual fidelity, too, just...
Yeah, so it's been quite a while since I used the Index. Honestly, I haven't played much on it since Half-Life Alyx came out. And I think, really, there's, like, no screen door effect on the PSVR 2. And it feels... The OLED screen in it is great. Like, I feel like the $600 to spend on PSVR 2 is a better, well-spent... Well, here's a caveat. If they get the PC support going, and it does support, like, everything, not just, like, select games or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I think you'd be wiser to spend the $600 on a PSVR 2 than you would on the Index.
Well, if they get it to work on PC, period, then modders will do the rest in making it work for every game.
That's true. Yeah. That'd be, as long as they open up the door in a way, like, that's very true. So we'll certainly see how that goes. But, like, the Index is like $1,000 set. And not only that, but you have to, like, screw in lighthouses, you know, at certain parts of the room, that type of thing. The fact that, and, you know, there's not only other cables for the lighthouses, but then you got to plug your cable. There's one cable going from the headset into, like, a 3-cable splitter into the back of your computer for the Index. So there's just, I mean, the simplicity of the PSVR feels like it's way better.
It's pretty genius, man.
Yeah. The only other thing with the PSVR as well, the controllers, I think, on the Index have a much better... Like, I think the grip on the PSVR is a little bit faked because there are buttons that are inside the, like,
Yeah, like, it has that texturing to it that's on, like, the normal controller, right?
Yes.
All the X's, O's, and triangles and squares and stuff, like...
Yeah, but the Index, you could literally, like, you can squeeze the controller a little bit to pick up a gun in Alyx is kind of how it works. And that isn't quite there in the PSVR. From what I know, maybe it is and it isn't used in Horizon, but all around, I think it's a really great device.
Comfort?
I think it's very comfortable too. Like,
it's lighter than PSVR 1.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't take much.
No, that's not true. The PSVR was, I think, the bellwether of comfort when it came out, honestly.
But PSVR 2 is slightly lighter and feels, I would say, it's a little more balanced, too.
Yeah, I can agree with that. So I think, and even, like, the Index, also fairly comfortable, but it is a bit heavier on your head. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to playing more. I downloaded the VR modes for Resident Evil 4 and 8, so I look forward to playing those at some point. I also picked up Moss 1 and 2, because I've heard that those are both very good. And then I also downloaded a game called Before Your Eyes, which I know uses the eye tracking to, like, I think every time you blink, it changes the scene in the game or something like that, so... and I heard good things about it, so I want to check that out. The only other game I wanted to talk about before we get to Final Fantasy stuff was a game called Balatro. Have you guys heard of Balatro?
I've only heard Jason Schreck talk about it because he's obsessed. He has a gambling addiction, basically, and he loves poker, and that's basically, it's like a poker roguelite or something like that.
Yes. So it is a $15 game on Steam, and I think it's on other consoles. I think it got taken off of Switch for a little bit, but I think that got resolved. But anyway, it is a roguelike deck builder, but your deck is a normal deck of playing cards. And you can unlock different decks that have different perks to them, but basically all you're doing is trying to use, like, within a couple of hands of poker to get a score above, like, a certain requirement in each round that you play. You're not playing against other people. You're just playing poker hands with yourself, and you get different modifiers and things. Like, when you win rounds, you get money. You can use that money to buy jokers that have, like, bigger multipliers or point modifiers on the cards that you do play. You can get these arcana packs that let you, like, change the cards that are in your deck. So you could be like, hey, I want to remove the suit off of this Seven of Hearts so it can literally be a seven of any suit when I play it. Or you can like remove cards that you don't want in your deck, so you want to make it a higher choice that you're only going to get three of the suits instead of all four, or things like that. You could turn your entire deck into like clubs eventually is kind of the way that it kind of advertises. So then you can get better, or you're more likely to get like a Royal Flush in clubs and that kind of thing. So, it's very fun. It's very addictive. It's a great Steam Deck game. I imagine it's a great Switch game. People should check it out. If you like, it reminds me of playing our handheld Yahtzee things, right, John?
Yeah.
Like literally just sitting there playing Yahtzee. But there's a lot more twists and fun on it because you can kind of modify the deck and the way that you get points and stuff.
See, I would be fine with just a plain handheld Yahtzee mobile game that I don't have to like have microtransactions in or like, you know, normal Yahtzee game. A normal one, because all the mobile ones are not normal. You have to buy like the off-brand Yahtzee game that steals all your information.
At one point during the pandemic, I found my old handheld one and I put a new battery in it and I played the shit out of it for a long time because fun. It's I love Yahtzee. So, Balatro, very Yahtzee like, but it's a Yahtzee like roguelike deck builder. People should check it out.
How many subtitles can you give that?
A game about playing cards. It's Final Fantasy time. Brian, do you want to stick around?
Nah.
Okay. It's getting into his snack time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
We went longer with the news than I thought I would.
It's time for prune juice and saltines.
Like an hour. I'm good.
Yep. All right.
Now that Brian's left, we can talk shit about
him. I'm tired.
No, just kidding. I beat Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, so do we wanna say spoilers for that? Do you wanna talk anything super spoilery about that game?
We don't have to until we do like a spoiler cast for Remake, I guess, or Rebirth. Because I'll be honest with you, like the end of Remake and then the beginning of Rebirth, I have no fucking clue what is going on in this game. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to explain it in a manner in which like it would try to avoid spoilers if we wanted to.
Are you talking about the very beginning of Rebirth?
Not even like the very beginning of Rebirth.
Okay.
Like when they're doing the quick recap thing and like you see the newscast.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yep. Like I was like, what? What the actual, and like I was sitting there and Megan's watching me, like I just started the game and I'm like, I literally said out loud, I'm like, I have no fucking idea what is happening.
Yeah, so I'm 40 hours in and I still don't know what's going on with that.
Like so they haven't explained it.
There's been small bits and pieces of it, but I still don't know how or why.
Yeah, I hope it gets explained because I have a lot of questions anyways.
I feel like it probably will by the end of Rebirth, but anyway.
And so Remake was great. I loved it. I listened to the spoiler cast that you did with Webby and Gojo. And that was a good listen. It was good to hear those guys and their opinions about it just because I feel like a lot of my love for the game is just an idea of like the purest form of nostalgia that I have.
100%.
Yeah. And I realized that the original Final Fantasy VII, like it was leaps and bounds ahead of everything else that had come out at the time. And that's what made it kind of great, even though it wasn't like really that great overall. It was still great. Don't get me wrong, but, anybody who says anything along the lines of it being the greatest game of all time is full of shit, because that's Castlevania Symphony of the Night. But I can't remember all the things that I went into about about Final Fantasy VII Remake last time, but I'll say again that the music is really good. There are parts of the music that I don't understand why they chose the music they did. But beyond that, like, it's great. It's a beautiful game. By the end of me playing Remake, I understood the battle system better. At least I feel like I did, which was nice. And continuing to play as a central character and then being able to flip-flop and use other spells from other characters using the R2 and L2 back and forth was nice. It makes things a little bit smoother. I know I mentioned to you that I really enjoyed the fact that I didn't have to do the elevator boss fight in the elevator.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have made any sense, especially considering how long it took me to beat that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a fun boss fight, and yeah, it's a great reimagining of this game. And I think you guys talked about it, and I've talked about it in the past that, like, I feel like the original game was so poorly translated and localized that this game it has all the right bits and pieces to make it feel like the quote-unquote same game, mm-hmm. but it's more fleshed out and realized, and I like that, and I think it's great. So props to Square for doing this ambitious project and not really giving a fuck if they please the fans or not. They just kind of were like, we're just going to do our thing, and they did it, and they did a really great job. Rebirth is absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I broke out into the grasslands, which is nice. And the map feels massive. Like, it does. It feels fucking huge. The only thing my only gripe so far about Remake or Rebirth, I'm gonna keep mixing that up, about Rebirth is that running into Chadley should have happened in Calm right away.
Hmm.
Because by the time I actually got him, I had already ran past like three of the towers and I didn't have the device needed to fire up the towers.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are you going to open up the world to me and just give me this giant place to roam and explore? And there's all these little things on the ground that you can pick up, like these resources. How are you going to give me all of that and completely just like make me have to do the story to get this one mechanic?
That, like, yeah, they kind of do that a couple times. And
I feel like stuff like that is very not respectful of players' time kind of thing, but it's not that big of a deal. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm like bent out of shape about it, 'cause I'm really not. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'll give you a heads up in that the next time you hit an open world place, you will not be able to fast travel back to the grasslands until you do something story related.
Okay.
So don't, like, because you could just hoof it back through the hallway that they put you through to get back into the grasslands. You don't need to do that. Just continue along the critical path to unlock that fast travel.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. So even if you do leave a few things open, which I think is totally fine, you'll be able to go back there and do it easily than just actually having to move back. So, okay. So you're in the grasslands.
I just got the chocobo that I need in order to cross the swamp.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming when I cross the swamp, I'm going to have to fight the Midsummer or whatever it is.
Midgar Sormer or whatever.
Yeah, the big ass snake dragon thing.
Yeah.
The Charbok in the giant Charbok in Final Fantasy. It is basically a huge cobra.
Yeah.
Charbok being the Pokemon, for those who don't know.
Well, no, it's Arbok.
Arbok, that's right.
Arbok and Ekans.
Yeah.
Snake and cobra backwards.
I'm combining Charmander and Anyways.
That's a good, I would like that fusion.
Charbok? Yeah.
Yeah. Snake, flame salamander.
Flaming poison snake.
Yeah.
This is why Brian left the conversation, by the way.
Yeah, it was valid. Let me say that I have loved the open world sections. And let me tell you, it's barely spoiling anything. I think at where I'm at in the game, 40 hours in, there have been 5 of those. Equally that big.
Nice.
It's massive. It's so huge. And it feels, I remember saying, I don't know how they're going to do an overworld. They did it. And it feels great. Like, it's awesome. It's a little bit of a different paradigm than what you're used to with the original game, but it still functions in the same way, and it just makes the game feel huge. You know, traveling on the chocobo is great. The different the fact that you can fast travel between points of interest really quickly is awesome as well. And I've been having a blast, but I will say that when I walked into the next open world place, I was like, fuck. Because it's kind of just this, like, we'll give you a big open world, and then we'll funnel you through some story, and then we'll give you another big open world. There's a little bit of that going on, and, like, I am just now, 40 hours in, starting to miss the momentum a little bit of, like, but I did just get a huge dump of some of that. In the last area that I was in. Yeah, because
it's them throttling you just, like, blowing through the story again, right? Like,
yeah, but also, I think you can still do that. Like, I think the only thing that you are doing by not mopping up all of the activities is maybe making the combat a little more challenging for yourself because you're not getting all the XP and, like, skills and things that you would get.
Yeah, I mean, the part of it that works for me is the fact that they give me a map that I can look at that shows me what areas I have and have not traversed.
Yeah.
Which is this final, or the Castlevania Symphony of the Night conundrum of, here's your map that you got, these are the areas that you discovered, and these are the areas that you have not discovered. And then it's just like, well, I have to fill out the entire map. And so then I spent like an hour and a half, 2 hours almost, just walking around like the perimeter of the opening area of the grassland to just open up the whole thing. And then I was like, well, okay, what do I do now? Like, and then I was like, oh, well, I guess I can go kill all these enemies. And then there's those tower things. And then I got to the towers and like, I can't use any of them yet. And I was like, well, maybe I should just progress with the story. So then I just did the next bit of the story thing. It made me go get the chocobo. You know, I had to go sneak up on the chocobo and grab him and give him the Geshall greens and whatever. But yeah, that part works for me. Like I just want to cover the whole map. I want to uncover it. It was like playing Warcraft 2 and I'm like, no, Fog of War, you don't exist. I'm going to send some peons around the entire map until I uncover the entire thing.
I was going to say it is the most Ubisoft shit that they're making you that they're asking you to do, and I should be so annoyed by it. Like, you're literally climbing towers, and I just fucking love it because I'm so in the bag for the nostalgia of this game.
Yeah, because it's Final Fantasy. Yeah,
yeah. I literally only have one complaint against this game, and it's that there's a piece of music that I really loved in the original game that does not appear where it was in the original game that makes me very sad. And that's all that I'll really say until you get further in.
Okay.
But there's one piece of music that I probably listen to on repeat amongst a CD full of really great music that isn't in the game, as far as I know. Maybe it'll pop up somewhere else, or maybe it's differently orchestrated and I just didn't notice it, but.
Was it my Final Fantasy soundtrack that you listened to? The one that came with like the PS1 remix of 1 and 2?
No, I think I just probably found just a copy off of the internet truck. Yeah, I don't think
from
it was
Napster.
Yeah, yeah.
It fell Napster off the back of a Napster truck.
Yep. So, yeah. But no, I'm still loving it. I'm excited to play more. I spent some time playing it in PSVR with the biggest screen setting, and I was like having to like look to the corner to pick my abilities and then look up there to get, and it was fun, but I also was kind of like, this is a little bit too much. I just want to play the game normally.
I didn't even think to do that, but I probably should start playing games with the PSVR as a monitor again so Megan can use the TV.
Yeah, that's an interesting use case.
Since I'm not allowed to play
it.
Video games in my fucking game room.
I'm trying to think if there were any other questions that I had for you with Rebirth. Have you played any Queen's Blood yet? Do you like it?
I played the tutorial game, and I did it a couple of times just to kind of get the gist of it. And, yeah, it's cool. I dig it. I'm excited to kind of see what they do for... Because they've had such a positive response. They have... I heard they are thinking about making a physical version of it, which is pretty cool. But I need to play more of it, mm-hmm. for sure. I think it's a cooler concept than Gwent, but I understand. I get the similarities, but I like the idea. Gwent. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you play Witcher 3 at all?
I very briefly did, so I could talk about it a little bit on here, but I didn't even get to any Gwent. I barely touched it, honestly.
Yeah. But I like the idea of it. I like the idea that the different cards like affect the different areas. Like you're trying to build up an area in order to cast a higher power card.
Mm-hmm.
I say cast like it's magic, but
yeah, it works.
Yeah, no, it's a very cool concept for sure. I dig it. I would like to play more of it and understand it. It doesn't have anything like Triple Triad had, where you like there's rule sets that you can like ruin the game with, right? Like I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, that mechanic is not in here. There are like more. There are some mechanics that they start to reveal later with different cards that you start to collect. So that's
yeah.
But there's nothing like. You cannot like poison the game the way you could with Final Fantasy VIII.
Because I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what made me quit playing Final Fantasy VIII altogether. Was I fucked up my Triple Triad run by picking up a poor rule?
Well, the good news is nowadays people figure that stuff out so quickly that they would figure out how you can game it. Because when I was playing Final Fantasy VIII on the Steam Deck last year, or 2 years ago. I was watching videos of people that were like, here's how you manipulate those rules to make sure that you don't need to worry about any of that shit. And it was like, talk to this person 3 times and exit out without playing the game. And then you'll get a message that the rules from this area have spread and blah, blah, blah. Like, so, you know, even if that wasn't here, somebody would figure out the way to affect it properly. But I don't think there's anything like that.
Yeah.
There's also like places where you will get, they do like puzzles with the Queen's Blood where they give you like a specific hand and tell you to beat this opponent.
Oh, that's cool.
With the hand. Yeah. So there's kind of fun things like that in the game as well. So yeah, no, it's Queen's Blood is a lot of fun. And you didn't play Intermission, but Intermission had their new version of Fort Condor in it.
Okay.
Which is more of a like tower defense type game, and you do get to play a little bit of that in the next open world section from where you're at. So I'll be curious to hear your thoughts on that one too, because it's fun. It's also hard. I found that one a little bit more frustrating than Queen's Blood, even in Intermission. But yeah, no, I'm glad you're liking it. I'm excited to, I really want to sit down and talk to Webby and you about it when we're all done, just to see where
things
are. Is
Gojo even playing it or no?
I don't think Gojo picked it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Cause when I was playing with him and Nick last night, Nick was like, I saw you playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Have you met Sid yet? And I was like, I'm 40 hours into the game. I have not seen Sid. And Nick was like, that sounds like a job. It's like, yeah, pretty much. And Gojo just kind of laughed at it. And I don't think he's been playing it, but
Bummer.
You know, we'll see. But hopefully the three of us can all get through it. I was for a while stalking Webby's trophies to see where we were with respect to each other.
Yeah.
But I think he got a little bit ahead of me and then I stopped checking it. So I'll have to look back in and see where he's at.
That's funny.
So.
Yeah, no, I definitely need to play more of it. I can't remember what else is coming out. Oh, Rise of the Ronin comes out this week, I think.
Yeah, so does Dragons of Dogma 2. But honestly, like, I'm so into Final Fantasy right now that I can't. Like, I even, when I went back and listened to that spoiler cast, and I mentioned that I didn't beat Bahamut in the combat simulator.
Yeah.
And there's part of me that was like, I gotta go back and beat Bahamut when I'm done with Rebirth. Like, I should probably go and do that.
That's funny. So,
that would be, but, you know, I'm sure if we talk about Final Fantasy much more, Brian's probably just gonna quit the show altogether.
I will say I'm a little disappointed that more of that, like, more of, like, things didn't carry over from Remake to Rebirth. Like, feel like you should have been able to pick up your party the way, like, whatever levels they were and everything moving into Rebirth. Like, that sort of, like, break in continuity is something that is, like, super disappointing, especially in this, like, modern day and age when we have the ability. Like, it can't possibly, like, maybe I don't get all of my items that were in my inventory, but, like, at least give me the swords and things, like, just give them to me that I didn't buy in the first round of the game, or in Remake, or whatever, however you want to phrase it, and give me all the materia that I would have picked up at that point, like, instead of making me rework to get those things back. Like, that's annoying.
I do feel like they did a little bit of, like, deciding that they're not just going to, because I felt like when I started the game, there were people that had some materia that wasn't just on the first level still.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard because by the end of the first game, like, of course you want to be able to cast Faraga, but then if you're able to do that at the beginning of the next one, how could they possibly balance the strength of the enemies, you know, if you have, like, the high level materia all the way across? Like,
I don't know, it just, again, it's like disrespecting the player's time in a way, you know. And maybe I feel that way because I literally went straight from playing Remake to Rebirth, you know.
No, I felt it too. Like, I wish they found a better way to, like, reward you for having played that first game. But
or like, just, like, let me, I guess, like, it's hard because they had to redo the whole, like, sphere grid thing, like, as well, you know? Yeah. Like, maybe they can't just translate things over, but, like, make me the same level I was with the same HP that I had. That, I feel like that can't possibly be that difficult, like.
Yeah, it would just be balancing the game. I guess the thing that is difficult about it is that, think about the idea that some people played the first one and maybe some people didn't. So then you have basically two versions of the game where the enemies are all beefed up enough to still be a challenge for those of us that did play the first game.
But I think scaling enemies and their difficulty is something that's commonplace in modern gaming, like, based on player level or whatever. This is a single player game. It's not as overly complicated as, like, a multiplayer game where you have multiple players,
yeah,
and you have to balance the difficulty based on the number of players and the level of each of those players. Like, this is just like, oh, this guy didn't play Remake, he doesn't have a save game on his hard drive or his account, we start him at level 15, I think, is where they start you in Rebirth. And we're not going to give them any materia or any, like, other weapons or anything. And then all the enemies are kind of dumbed down to that. But then you've got the guy who put in 70, 80 hours into Remake and starts the game at level 55 or whatever with a shitload of materia that's all leveled up and whatnot. And then you just make the enemies harder. Like, no one's going to be mad about that. Like, I'm more mad that they didn't do that. So, And I'm not even that mad about it. I don't care because I'm playing Final Fantasy fucking 7 in the year 2024. And I had to wait 27 years for this.
Yeah.
You know? So, whatever.
I hear you.
I'm not that bent out of shape over it. It's not that big of a deal. It's just sad that I can't drink endless amounts of Mountain Dew and eat Cheetos while I do this, so. But that's a whole other story. Anyways.
I really hope there's Knights of the Round. If not, I don't know if it's in this one. I don't want to know if it's in this one. I hope it is at some point in this series.
It's probably like some one-time use thing that happens, and it's like a 55-minute cinematic, and then like it never happens again, and you're just like, thank God, but man, that was sweet.
Like, that sounds great. I would love that. That would be fantastic.
That's why they needed the second disc, is just for Knights of the Round.
Yeah, it's just the Knights of the Round cinematic, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, man. You can find all the places you can listen to the show at MidwestGameNerds.com/links. The Midwest Podcast Network has a Patreon. Patreon supports all the shows on the network. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month and help keep our shows alive and well. Check it out at MPN.BZ/Patreon. Thanks again to Jason K., Tom Z., David O., and Corey Z. for the contributions. One of the perks of joining the Patreon is you get early access to the bonus episodes that we call Side Quests. Side Quests are where we veer off outside the realm of video games into food, beverages, movies, TV, and more. Join our Patreon to get those episodes a week early. As always, we do appreciate your feedback, which you can send to MidwestGameNerds@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcatcher. Next time, we're probably going to talk about more Final Fantasy. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe I'll play more VR stuff.
We'll see. But anyways, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks again. Peace.